Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. Say play ESPN. We're on your smart speakers. Download the podcast. Jay, Harry Douglas,
Max.
In for Key. Good morning. Good morning.
Miss Green.
We are presented Kevin. By Progressive Insurance. Guys, we talked about Kevin Durant, the whole story with KD earlier. Woj, you know, has it up on ESPN.com right now. There's one element of the story we haven't gotten into yet. Listen to this quote from Woj's piece. In previous seasons, rival agents and players would tell you of Durant's eagerness in talking to potential free agents. So far, that hasn't been the case with him, sources told Woj. Jay, is that an indicator?
What does that mean?
Well, if KD is usually recruiting this time of year, right, and he's not now, does that indicate maybe he is either not planning on being there or hedging his bets?
The dude has Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, who is getting healthy, Joe Harris,
coming.
Seth Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Who does he need to recruit?
He's already got everyone.
It's more like, how do I sit down with Sean Marks and figure out, like, what do we do with Bruce Brown? How do we get him back? What's up with LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin? Like, our age of our bigs are a little bit bigger. But if I'm Kevin Durant, there's no need. I'm not picking up the phone to call JaVale McGee.
So
like, Sean Marks,
that,
you can handle that.
So doesn't that indicate that, and we got to talk about this throughout the show, but so who has the leverage there? Because earlier I was saying, I'm going to fold. If KD's like, look, you either give Kyrie the money or I'm out, I'm folding. You got it, Kyrie, here's your money. So I wouldn't even start playing games with Kyrie. However, if KD is indicating, based on what you said, Jay, he understands I got everything I need here already. Why do I need to recruit anybody? All the kind of peripheral stuff the GM can take care of. I already got Kyrie. I got Ben Simmons. Joe Harris come back. I got Seth Curry to shoot. All that stuff. Doesn't that give the team some leverage? Because they know, come on, KD, we know we set you up love here, right?
I don't think so, because Kevin Durant is the chess piece. He's the guy that you need to drive everything that makes everything work. We've already seen Kyrie try to do it by himself. We know what KD is. KD is arguably one of the best scorers, if not the best scorer that this game has ever seen. And he happens to be 6'10", 6'11", while doing it. We know he's a centerpiece. And I will go back to that series that we mentioned earlier, the Milwaukee Bucks. And what KD did in that series, especially when Kyrie Irving got hurt and coming, what, a toe away from, what was that? They would have went up, what?
No, they would have won that.
That was game seven. That was game seven,
yeah.
Right?
No
they
James Harden, really. He was limping,
yeah, that's,
right?
That's what I'm
and
saying.
No Kyrie.
So we know Kevin Durant is the centerpiece of all this working. So in my eyes, I think Kevin Durant is in the driver's seat, and he has the power in all of this.
I laugh at this because this is, Max, you know I love chess, right? I was a captain of my chess team in high school.
Like, I love chess, too.
Nerdy like that. I don't give a damn. I love it. Even going to Central Park and seeing guys play. Like, you know, so people will say that Kevin Durant is the most powerful piece on the chessboard, right? He's the queen. But what happens as you play throughout the course of a game, if you're able to continue to advance a pawn, and you get to the other side, you can choose another piece from all the other pieces. You can even choose another queen. And what I say about the Brooklyn Nets is they have two queens on their team. You have two powerful pieces, right? You have Kevin Durant and Kyrie. And if you have two queens together on the same team, that gives you the best odds to win a championship. So I know people may say, like, well, there's a lot that comes with Kyrie. And, you know, is he going to show up? And we need these stipulations. But at the end of the day,
it's about winning.
It's about winning.
And winning championships.
And these dudes together
give you
the best odds to win a championship.
But I think the 100%.
And,
I agree,
Max,
with
wherever
that.
You try to trade him, if you're another team, you have to realistically think about, does Kyrie Irving want to be here?
I totally
does he
agree
really
with
want
what
to be
you're
here?
Saying. I think that the Nets must view Kyrie when it – but the skills package is undeniable, the talent and the skill, and the results that he can achieve when he's on the court and when he's right. But I think they probably look at him more like a rook than a queen because he misses games for – listen, however – well, but that was a unique circumstance. That was injury. Whatever it is, he gets on the floor half the time. He's on the floor half the time. So a queen's worth 9 points. A rook is worth 5, right, if you look at the value. and he is some diminished number from his highest value if he's not available. That's what they want to guard against. Now, ultimately, I agree with you guys. Whatever the risk is, if he's got, if I already got KD and Kyrie and KD's like, yo, I'm not going to be happy if he doesn't get paid, I'm not even doing this negotiation right now. Kyrie's already got his money if I'm the Nets. But that's what the Nets must be thinking. Like, the guys, they hear half the time.
I said this before. There's nothing like if you know the end game. If you're KD and Kyrie, you're just gonna sit there and wait.
Yeah, I just wonder how much
you can negotiate all you want.
I just wonder how much leverage. I'm not denying Harry that the most leverage is with KD, yeah. but I don't think the Nets are without any leverage now that we're talking it through, mm-hmm. because they must recognize that KD understands this really is the best situation for him. He don't want to mess it up either. So does that create a little pressure for KD to go to Kyrie and be like, look, they're drawing a line in the sand. I want you to get all your money, but like, look what we got going here.
Well, I think Kevin Durant has to have that talk with him. And also, I think in all this that's going on, those two have to be in unison, right? Because those are the two who came over to Brooklyn, and they did it together. So every move that these two guys make going forward have to be in unison with one another. It can't be Kyrie is making this decision. Kevin Durant's making that decision. These two guys have to be in unison from this point moving forward. Because when you look at last year, it wasn't that. And I also got to say, I understand Kyrie hasn't played over 50% of the game since he's even been in Brooklyn. But let's not act like we wasn't going through a pandemic, right? We just went through a pandemic.
Things were a little funky.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why Kyrie Irving wasn't there last year, because of him not getting the vaccination. If it wasn't a pandemic, are we having that conversation?
Doug in Detroit, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Harry Douglas is in – sorry. J. Will and Max. Harry Douglas is not in for Max. Max is right here. Harry Douglas is in for Key, as you can plainly see. What's up? What's up, Doug, in Detroit?
How's it going, gentlemen? I was just talking to my buddy, and I was like, man, I'm actually shocked. The Nets have to be extremely careful in this situation, because what if Kyrie says, hey, KD, I'm going to go out and play in L.A.? L.A. is trying to get rid of a contract, and like Keyshawn always says, it doesn't matter if there's a contract. If a player goes to you and says, I want to be traded, I'm done here, you could be looking at a super-duper team in the Los Angeles Lakers, which would cause chaos in the NBA.
But you'd have to be trading Westbrook. You're not going to get Kyrie for Westbrook. So the best you could do is get deals that extend into the future on mid-range type players, two or three of them, that would be willing to take an expiring Westbrook contract in exchange so they could get some cap relief and then put those, like, it's, you know, like, it'd be difficult to get Kyrie to the Lakers.
And I hear people say that, but then I would ask the Nets, who the hell are you replacing Kyrie Irving with? Like, you know, people say, oh, yeah, he's, who are you replacing him with that's going to keep you in contention?
Unless it's Damian Lillard or someone like that.
Yeah, but Damian right. leaving Portland?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Dame's been steadfast about that.
Yeah.
Steadfast.
It would be, if I could get, for an expiring Westbrook deal, Malcolm Brogdon and someone else, and then put them around LeBron and AD, I like my chances, actually, if I'm the Lakers. Trey and Little Rock, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today.
Hello? Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's good, baby?
How y'all doing?
What's good?
What you got?
Yes, sir, driving this big old truck. Hey, okay.
Where are you driving the truck to? Where are you driving the truck to?
I'm coming from Dallas to Little Rock.
All right, there you go.
Yes, sir. Now, Jay, man, you're right. I mean, I think everybody over-complexing the situation,
you got to turn the radio down. Turn your radio down so we can hear you. All right, now go.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Jay Will, man, you're right. I mean, how is this going to happen? I mean, yeah, these scenarios sound cool and all, but realistically, how is this trade going to happen? I mean, they're not going to send Russell Westbrook. They're trying to develop the team. And then Kyrie and KD, they got too much going on out there in Brooklyn. I mean, we can fantasize Trey, all we want about these scenarios, but I can't see it happening.
Trey, I agree with you, but I'm just curious. What's it like when you're driving that truck from Dallas to Little Rock to be able to hang out with your boys in the morning? It's pretty good, isn't it, Trey?
Man, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Y'all done got me through some things in my life, man. I listen to y'all every day, man, for real.
So in a way, we're sort of like heroes, aren't we, Trey? And it doesn't cost you anything.
Hey,
it costs $3.99. That's the best price there is.
Trey, I'm going to tell you something.
Hey,
respect for what
you
do, man. Driving those long distances through the night, man. Through the morning. That's difficult, man. I'm glad we could be with you and kick it with you, brother. Seriously, real talk, man.
Yeah. Jay, never mind, Trey. What about us?
Anytime you're in Little Rock, come get some barbecue, Bronze Barbecue. We got the best barbecue in the South.
Done, baby.
See, Trey, we're helping people in their lives, Jay.
Max.
Would you let Trey focus on our greatness for a minute instead of always trying to turn it around?
Max is hilarious.
This is Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
That was Keyshawn, J. Will, and Harry.
Harry is in for Key. Harry's in for someone today. I'm not sure if it's me, Jay, or Key, but here he is.
Look at that, boy.
Wait a minute. I'm here too.
I need my name up here now. Let's get my name up here now.
I'm here too, so I'm going to say he's either in for Key or for you, Jay. I'm not sure.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key today. We are joined now by Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. You know him. You love him. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, and RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it could be covered at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because you know what? Probably can be. All right, so Dan is joining us, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Dan, listen to what Roger Goodell, we heard it coming in, but let's listen again to the sound, at yesterday's congressional hearing.
I have not seen a workplace in the NFL that is anywhere near what we saw in the context of that period of time for the Washington Commanders.
Yes or no, are you willing to do more?
Yes, of course I'm willing to do more. I never said that we were going to stop. I actually said the opposite.
But
we will continue.
You have the authority to recommend that Diane Snyder be removed as a team owner.
Okay,
you can recommend that.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
Owner.
The gentleman may answer her question. Your time has expired. You may answer her question. Should Dan Snyder be removed?
I think I'm good.
Remove him. Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him, Congresswoman.
I think I'm good.
Rashida Tlaib, the firebrand, going at Roger Goodell. So you heard that from Goodell yesterday, Dan Graziano. What was your biggest takeaway from his testimony in front of Congress yesterday?
Well, I mean, Roger Goodell is going to go. I mean, the NFL has good lawyers. Roger Goodell is going to show up there prepared, and he knows what he wants to say and what he doesn't want to say. Look, he doesn't have the authority to remove Dan Snyder as owner. That's technically true. It would require a vote of 24 of the other owners. And right now there's no indication that we're anywhere near that in terms of the appetite for removing one of their own. So I think Roger Goodell did what he had to do yesterday. And, you know, he answered the questions the way you would probably have expected him to. I mean, you know, I've never seen a workplace like what we saw in Washington, you know. Fair. How many of them have you investigated? Like, that's the right. They did an investigation into that one. So don't really know. I think the NFL does not want the findings of that report on Washington's workplace culture to become public. I mean, that's obvious. Mm-hmm. They've worked hard to keep it secret. They're going to continue to do that. And what Congress is trying to do is pressure them to make it public or continue to keep the heat on so that more continues to come out.
So how significant is it for the House Oversight Committee to subpoena Daniel Snyder?
Well, it's significant because now he has to go, right? I mean, now he doesn't have a choice. I think that'll be interesting because we hear Roger Goodell talk from time to time. You almost never hear Daniel Snyder. So the idea of him facing questions from a congressional committee under oath and presumably on TV, I think is very interesting to a lot of people because we don't know what he's going to say. We don't know how he's going to handle that situation. And certainly the people that are questioning him will be trying to put him in an uncomfortable position to where he reveals and or admits something that so far he hasn't. My guess is he'll go in well prepared too by his attorneys. There'll be a lot of eyes on that one. You don't hear his voice very often.
You know, then we were talking about this before about, you know, if it goes to discovery and the opportunities, not only just about the Washington football team, but how owners have this need to protect each other because a lot of different things that are going on. I made mention of Stephen Ross and what happened with Brian Flores. There's, Jerry Jones. And there's a lot of other franchises where this could lead to issues.
Well, I mean, it already has. I mean, look at like the little tiny bit of information that came out about John Gruden's old emails got him, forced him to resign as coach in Las Vegas. Like, it's not ridiculous for us to sit here and assume there's more stuff in there that would put people in bad situations that could affect and or end careers. So yeah, I think there is an element of circling the wagons here.
What would it take for him to be removed as the owner of the Washington Commanders?
24 other owners would have to vote to remove him. And look, Daniel Snyder is a famously litigious man. Like he would certainly sue for the right to keep owning his team. It would be a very ugly situation. Now, if it got to that point and he was aware that at least 24 other owners wanted him out, what's happened in the meantime, maybe he does step aside. But the last time something remotely like this happened was with Carolina Panthers. But Jerry Richardson, who was the owner at the time, when those investigations started, he agreed to it, right? He decided, I will sell the team. I'll get out of the way.
Yeah, Dan, the one thing we gloss over is as much as they love owning the teams, and if you've got billions and billions, hey, you get to own it. What else would you do with your money, right? Most of us get to own an NFL team. But the punishment in this case is usually you're going to have to take $4 billion and get – it's not like he just gives away the team. He makes a lot of money from it.
Yeah, so – but again, what would he do? Would he push back? Well, I think it's fair to assume, given what we know about the guy, that he would fight it.
Here's the thing from my perspective. When you talk about the owners and it will take 24 of the 32, how many of those owners are really willing to say, okay, we want to remove Daniel Snyder?
I don't think a lot of these guys, if any, want to live in a world where they can be forced to sell their teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if they do that to someone else, that brings it into play for all of them.
Nice to get rid of the bad apples, though. See you later. Richardson, see you later. It'd be nice to get rid of Daniel Snyder. Just remember him standing up there, like billionaires hate being told what to do.
They do.
The name was offensive, period. He got up, I'm never going to change it. It was so great when he was forced to change it. That was great. And getting rid of him, in my opinion, would be very good too. The great Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen. Keyshawn J. Willimax is brought to you by Capital One with no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees. Banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
The 2022 Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award goes to Stephen Curry.
Hey, I hear all the conversations. I hear all the chatter. We hear all the chatter. I ain't got to talk about it. Just got to go do it. And that's what this is about.
Let's understand this. This is the greatest shooter God has ever created. We have never seen a shooter the likes of Steph Curry in the history of the game of basketball.
Forget that. We champs. Why are you starting with that question? We got four championships.
Hey. So, Dan Graziano still with us. Keyshawn J. Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Key today. NFL.com wrote an article about which NFL player could change their legacy most during the upcoming season. And like Steph Curry, whatever you want, well, he already had three championships. Yep, but for the first time, he was finals MVP. He was the best player on either team. As a result of that, his team won. He had big fourth quarters, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to throw out some names, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these players can most change their legacy by winning a Super Bowl? Okay, some of them will be younger players, less accomplished, more accomplished, older players. How about Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I mean, look, I don't think he's going to be the answer to most, right? Because he's already done it. He's been MVP and all. Look, I think it would be it would burnish his legacy to some extent, and set him on a path toward, you know, do we eventually talk about him as one of the all-time greats if he wins multiple? But yeah, I'm winning that second one, but he has time and he's already won it. And
but nevertheless, yeah. If he wins it,
yeah, no, you're right.
He's already clearly an all-time great, maybe a better legacy for a lot of people than Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Dan Marino. You know.
But so you said which of these players can most change his legacy, and then he gave me a list of one.
Like, nevertheless, I'm going to force you to answer the question. Hey, Jay, as of this moment, Harry, correct me if I'm wrong, he's saying Patrick Mahomes the most.
Of that list, that's all.
Yes, very good. How about
Aaron Rodgers? Not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I'll tell you, for me, I think it's Matt Ryan.
Oh, sure.
You look at a guy who's eighth all-time passing on the list, and after this year, he'd be sixth, right behind Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's been league MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. The last time he's been to a Super Bowl, though, it didn't end well as Atlanta Falcons lost 28-3. I mean, they blew a 28-3 lead. I think Matt Ryan, and then when he's best friends with a Matthew Stafford who left Detroit and went to the Rams, and then now he's in Indianapolis with the Colts and has an opportunity to do it, I think Matt Ryan is
Dan,
his clear-cut favorite.
That's a much better answer. I don't know why you say Mahomes. Yeah. Matt Ryan, if he added a Super Bowl, that would completely change his legacy. That's the kind of answer we're looking for, Dan Mahomes. I don't know what's going on with
– I played with Matt Ryan. I got drafted with him in 2008.
Interesting tie.
I mean, they're going to love
– Thickens.
They're going to love him in Indy. They already do, right? So, but you're right. I mean, the legacy portion of it, this is a guy that, you know, could be a Hall of Famer, right, with a championship. And it might be without, I don't know, from Hall of Fame voting. But – you can name any quarterback. I mean, you can go like on the whole spectrum of quarterbacks. You could say Aaron Rodgers. You could say Tom Brady, right? Eight's better than seven.
No, but like it is better, but it wouldn't.
Carson Wentz.
Really?
I don't know why Dan insists on Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady. We're talking about Matt Ryan's a much better answer.
But here's the unique thing about Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had 10 straight seasons where he passed for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
Last year in the 11th one, he was like, I think, 40 yards shy of the 4,000-yard mark.
With no receivers.
So, that would have made 11.
Rodgers is an interesting answer, Jay, because if he got to two, he's ahead
of Brett
Favre.
That's my thing. For me, is there, considering all the drama that we've gone through over the last year with Aaron Rodgers, that he's gotten his money, the fact that it seems like he gets to the NFC Championship game and just can't get over that hump.
Sure.
If he were to get two, like then all of a sudden this whole conversation around, well, the talent speaks for itself. The talent is always there. Even though the chips don't match up to Tom Brady, some people think Aaron Rodgers has more talent than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like then it starts to draw that into play for me.
Let me give you one. Let me give you a young one. You're like, come on, man. Legacy, it's too early. You know, I'm always talking about Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Herbert. There are guys like Stafford who come into the league and the eyeball test is like, oh, my God. But when you dig into the numbers and the percentage and stuff, maybe it's not quite elite, even though you're impressed with the arm and everything. Justin Herbert was, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. There's not a single weakness. He's not just 6'3", he's like 6'6". He's legit fast. Mm-hmm. He has a cannon for an arm. It's a laser-guided missile. He's accurate. He's amazing on third down. He's amazing on fourth. He checks every single box. If he wins a Super Bowl on top of passing every eyeball test, and then when you dig into the stats, QBR is up there with Aaron Rodgers every year. He's only been in the league for 2 years. If he wins a Super Bowl, already he's, like, when you talk about the all-time great quarterbacks, and people will remember the beginning of that career at the very least, no matter what else happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be similar to where Mahomes is right now, right? Like, that's the thing. So, but that guy doesn't have a legacy. Like, that's the thing. Like, who could change his legacy? Like, look down the road. How are we going to remember him? We have no idea yet. I mean,
he has time. He has time.
He has plenty of time. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. I think that's, I mean, you really could list, I mean, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big one. Honestly, I mean, what are we saying about Joe Burrow this time next year if he wins the Super Bowl?
Lamar's younger than Burrow, by the way.
But I think those guys still have time, though.
Of course they do.
Because they're 25 and younger.
But they're already at work on it, right? Like, there's already some stuff in the bank legacy-wise for some of those guys.
Well, I mean, we'll get a chance to talk about it later, but let's ride. If Russell Wilson won, doing it his way.
Great one.
Whereas many people have chastised him, like, you run because of your defense. Yeah. You should have run the ball. Like,
Jay, I like your pick of Russell Wilson much better than Dan's.
What about Daniel Jones?
Change his legacy.
All right, Dan.
Hold on to that football. The great Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, ladies and gentlemen. NBA draft is tonight. What player will change the course of a franchise like Steph did for the Warriors? Is there anyone in there? that can do that. All right. The NBA draft is tonight at 8 Eastern. ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Mentioned the odds of the guys, you know, where they're going to go, all that. Banchero and Smith, Banchero's the favorite, and Jabari Smith is plus 150, and then Chet Holmgren plus 1,000. I'm a little surprised by those odds. I figure with Holmgren's size and everything and potential upside. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. Seth Greenberg is with us, Jay.
Notorious B-E-R-G. My guy.
So.
What up, baby?
Good to see you, Coach. You know the producer put him up to that.
I love it.
I can't wear anything funky on these ESPN shows, you know.
They call him Lumberjay today.
Call me exotic. Oh, look at he's so exotic.
What would happen if we took a lumberjack shirt and put a garbage bag, cut it in half, and put it in front of
us? It would be called fashion.
It would be called fashion, apparently. Coach, there seems to be a split with the odds makers saying Banchero will go one. And most basketball people who think maybe it'd be Jabari Smith Jr. or maybe Chet Holmgren, where do you stand on who should go number one?
Jabari Smith is a shot maker. He is a scorer. He's not Kevin Durant, but he's got some traits that Kevin Durant has. He has the ability to stretch the floor 40% from the three. He can play in an isolation. He's a very, very good passer. And here's the key. He's an elite defender. And that's where I separate him and Banchero, because you look at the Orlando Magic, they've got to get a culture of toughness. They've got to get a culture, a winning culture. They need winning players that can impact the game on both ends of the floor. Jabari Smith is that guy, but he is an elite offensive player and a difference maker on the defensive end.
Seth, I'm curious on Jabari Smith about, you know, I know people say KD, like a Rashad Lewis, to me, is kind of a comp, right? Because that length, that size. Does he have the ability to defend the perimeter? Because I see him, you know, drag on the perimeter a little bit more offensively. And I just wonder, like, do you see that in his games from somebody who's watched them a lot?
Yeah, he definitely can defend on the perimeter. He can switch light clock ball screens and keep a guard in front and contest a shot. He can literally, if you want to cross match and have him defend someone else at three on the perimeter, he has the ability to move his feet, contest, and keep the ball in front. He's an elite, elite defender. He really is. Great hands, gets deflections, gets out in transition, can defensive rebound, initiate your fast break, switchable 1 through 4 or 1 through 5. I think that's the difference. Like, Banchero is a special talent, all right? His size, his strength, his ability to get in lane, spin, he's got a lot of toys in the toolbox. Like I say, he's like a little kid on Christmas. He's got so many things to play with, he's not sure exactly which one. But on the defensive end, Paolo Banchero disappears. I mean, it's just the way it is. Now, look, Duke hasn't been the defensive team they were when you played.
Hey.
And that's just a fact. So maybe it wasn't demanded of him defensively, but Banchero does not impact the game defensively.
Coach, when you move out of the lottery, right, who is a guy or two that can make a team very happy and be a guy that, you know, take a franchise to the next level?
Yeah, I think out of the lottery, I think right on that borderline of the lottery. I love Malachi Branham, the kid from Ohio State. Young, eliminate the first 10 games of the season. He was kind of feeling his way. But he's 6'7", explosive athlete, can get downhill, punch it on you, can shoot the ball. Didn't shoot a ton of threes, only shot 2 threes a game, but was, I think, a 39% three-point shooter. Has really good length and incredible, incredible upside. I'm a really big fan of Branham. And then the guy that has really jumped, obviously, in the pre-draft workouts has been Benedict Mathurin, who I think is an absolute stud. Think of Jaylen Brown in terms of his game and his improvement. Really athletic, runs the floor, great cutter, can shoot the three, straight line driver, an elite defender, can rebound his position. I think that's where the NBA is going. Like 6'7", 6'8", multi-positional players at the wing that could be what I call floor gamers. If you look at Mathurin, you look at Branham, you look at those type of guys, that's the direction of the league as you're building a roster.
Seth, it's so funny about Mathurin. A lot of people don't get a chance to see him considering play for Arizona on West Coast time. But athleticism, man, freakish. And by the way, his ability to shoot that J too. And I mean, look, he's a complete package. I think his stock is rising. We were talking about this before, and I'm curious to get your opinion on this, Seth. If you were the GM of a franchise and you understood the history of these two players, right? You're able to go back in time. I'm curious which one you would choose, right? What do you think is a better draft pick? Not who is more talented. What is a better draft
from the point
pick
of view
for
of the
culture
team.
Of your team that you want to create? Would you draft Steph Curry or would you draft LeBron James?
Ooh, Jay Will. Right? I mean, it's a little early in the morning to have to deal with this. You know, so all the naysayers are going to say I had a chance to draft Steph Curry when I tried to recruit him in high school. All right? Now, truth be told, the true story has never been told. I'm not going to get into it right now, but he was recruited in high school and he was offered. But that's another story. No, you'd have to draft LeBron James. And I understand, you know, what Steph's been able to do, which has been absolutely incredible. And Bobby McKillop, he's just retired, did an incredible job with him, and he picked a great situation and continued to develop, you know, at Davidson. But you know, LeBron James, what does he do? He impacts the game defensively. He impacts the game on the glass. He can be a point forward.
But, coach, he leaves you. Steph stayed. If you're the team, who would you rather draft?
Okay, well, coach, stick with your guns, coach. Stick with your guns.
This sounds really – Max, he leaves you. Yeah, he leaves you. So, you know, he was in Cleveland, which was his hometown, and he left. You know what? He had a conflict with his owner. Obviously, healed that up, went back, won a championship. Steph Curry was in a place with a great culture where he had a great connection with not only Mark Jackson, but obviously
didn't
Steve
have
Curry.
To work out
he had
that way.
A great connection with his ownership. I think a lot has to do with what's your relationship with your ownership. That's why guys leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just plain and simple.
Seth, I have to ask you. I have to ask you now. Just tell me the story.
Yeah,
just tell me the damn story.
Well,
tell me
this way.
There was only one school that did a home visit with Steph Curry in the ACC.
Okay.
All right. Steph Curry took an official visit to Virginia Tech. I had a guy named Xavier Dowdell and Jamon Gordon. One guy was defensive player of the year in the ACC. One guy was first team All-ACC. Our recommendation was that he redshirt. We didn't have a scholarship at the time. We knew we were going to have one available, but we didn't have a scholarship at the time. We said, please wait. It wasn't a preferred walk-on. It wasn't a preferred walk-on. It was, please wait. But there's a good chance you might redshirt because I'm going to play Xavier Dowdell and Jamon Gordon 35 minutes a game. That's just the way it is. Those guys rode with me for the first 3 years. We got beat up as we built our program, built our identity, built our culture. And you know what? It paid off because those two dudes are both in the Hall of Fame at Virginia Tech and both went to the NCAA tournament, won a game in the NCAA tournament, one at Duke, one at Carolina their senior years. That was my decision. But look, Steph made a great decision. But he was definitely recruited. I sat in their living room in Longview in Charlotte, North Carolina. He'd been on campus multiple times. We couldn't over-award. But, look, I'm happy for the guy. The guy's fun to watch. Terrific player. And, it didn't work out.
You know what, Seth,
though? It's unfortunate, but it's fortunate for him.
You know what, man? It's so funny. Like people, obviously, because he's turned into one of the greatest players the game of basketball has ever seen. But if you go back into him going into college – like, nobody had him projected like that. Nobody had him projected like that, Seth. That's the reality of the nature of the business of the sport. Like, so I'm with you, man. I'm glad you provided clarification
on
that.
Their job evaluation is not based on what the guy eventually becomes in the pros, right? Well, you got a program to run.
Help me win now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, it worked out great, and Dell was obviously a great player, and you know, if we had four scholarships available, we had a player that was from DeMatha High School, was a very high-rated guard that was already committed in Nigel Munson, but we recruited him. I thought he was going to be terrific, but, I mean, I'd say it again. Xavier Dowdell and Jamon Gordon were my first two recruits at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech had the worst culture maybe in the country. Never been to the Big East tournament. We moved to the ACC. Those dudes won their senior year. They won at Duke and Carolina within 14 days. Mm-hmm. So let me just say, one guy was defensive player of the year in the ACC. The other guy was first team all ACC. Xavier Dowdell at 36 at Carolina. 36 at Carolina. I was going to ride with those guys. There's something to be said about being loyal to the guys that stuck with you. So that's what I did.
But really quick, though, coach, you chose LeBron, right?
I chose LeBron. Yes, I did.
He passed on Steph Curry for a second time. Oh, no,
exactly.
Wait a minute. That's not the point of all
this. This will
go
viral. Would
you ever take Steph Curry under any circumstances, coach? That's what I want to know.
He doesn't like Steph Curry. It's like when you pick against Duke. He hates Duke. Coach K beat him so many times, he hates Duke because Coach K beat him. And you know what my answer to that is? Coach K beat everyone so many times.
You would think the second chance he got to procure Steph, he would do it. He didn't.
No, you can't.
He said, no, I'm going
you
with LeBron.
You can't give Steph away to Seth Greenberg.
I appreciate you guys for helping my social media. I'm not going to turn off my career.
You're the best.
The great Seth Greenberg.
You know what? I also passed on Jay Williams. He wouldn't talk to me.
Thanks, Coach.
My guy. All right, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The 2022 Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award goes to Stephen Curry.
Hey, I hear all the conversations. I hear all the chatter. We hear all the chatter. I ain't got to talk about it. Just got to go do it. And that's what this is about.
Let's understand this. This is the greatest shooter God has ever created. We have never seen a shooter the likes of Steph Curry in the history of the game of basketball.
Forget that. We champs. Why are you starting with that question? We got four championships.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas, in for Key today. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM tonight, Channel 80.
This our era here, Jay.
Watch out, homeboy. Don't let it get to you. All right, listen. Let me tell you something. You play Run DMC. If that dropped today, I would think it's a hot album. The first, second albums.
And you guys complain about the music I play all the time, too.
No, we don't complain.
Oh,
why
yeah,
would you
do.
Ever think that?
Oh, you do.
We just play some stuff I never heard before.
And when I heard it, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, it's just your taste is eclectic, and we like it.
Sometimes his taste is a little, you know, red flannel shirty.
Yeah. By the way, Jay, you should appreciate it. He plays a lot of red flannel shirt music.
Pat, don't talk to me the rest of the show. You leave my red flannel shirt alone.
Jay, Big 10-4. Harry, I know you guys are very aware that on Man in the Arena, clearly other than Tom Brady, I was the star of the whole show. The whole thing was about the cliff, and it's all
we're
about
me. We're noticing
a
trend here. It always comes back to Max.
It's for some reason. I don't know. It's because of my great athletic prowess.
Hey, look, the sky is blue. Oh, Max, my pants are blue. What a coincidence.
Well, all I know is, did you watch Man in the Arena?
Because I didn't.
But the point is that people keep telling me that a lot of it was about how he was motivated by talk of the cliff, and that was me, right? So now I bring up the point. For anyone else, now everyone who jumped on the bandwagon, Steph Curry had never won an NBA Finals, MVP. He had never proven himself at the end of the season to be the best, like in that Finals, to be the best team,
player on the
best
court.
Player on either team. And as a result of that, his team won. To come up big in the fourth
can
quarter,
can always
stuff
be
like
the
that.
Best player on the court when there's LeBron James on the court.
I mean,
you're right.
Yo, MJ
could win that one.
MJ would have done it, yo.
MJ would have done it.
So the point is, everyone's telling me, no, because you think I'm rooting for the negative outcome. I'm not. I'm just stating as a fact, if he does it, it'll be something new. Now he did it. Everyone's acknowledging he's now elevated his legacy, and I have been proven right. But more than that, Jay, listen to his coach, Steve Kerr, on the Low Post podcast about what motivates Steph Curry.
For Steph, he's heard it over the years that, you know, he's never won Finals MVP, and the last two titles were all about, you know, KD and the first one, Andre got MVP. But as you know, the great players are always looking for what's next, and they're looking for another challenge, and they're looking for anything to motivate themselves. And I think Steph used that as motivation this year for sure.
So you're welcome, Jay. Do you understand?
In a way, Max,
I just won Finals MVP.
I've heard Nick Wright's name mentioned by Draymond. I've heard some other. I have not heard Max Kellerman's name mentioned by anybody from the Golden State Warriors team about
who are they referring to there, Jay? Do you think?
I just say
But it's like Kaiser Sosa, man. You're not even allowed to mention me by name. You can't even name check me.
Let's just solve this. Let's just have him on and ask him.
Yeah.
I would love to ask him. This is the best way we can solve this.
Absolutely.
But I think, look, man, it's funny whether people want to take credit or not. I'm telling you, that's how athletes are built, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I said when Golden State won that this was going to be a summer of pettiness, mm-hmm. like, we're seeing Draymond Green wake up every day like, who am I going to roast today?
I love it.
Who's speaking out of turn today? Because you're always looking for that extra. Like, and it's crazy, HD. I don't know. What's the craziest thing you ever found motivation from as an athlete?
I am competitive when it comes to everything. I take out the damn trash at the best of my abilities and wash dishes. So everything. There's nothing I'm not competitive.
The way you
at.
Cut down trees, Jay, is the way he takes out trash to the best
of
his ability.
Hell of a tree, man. I'm just saying, I would find ways about the way you tied your shoes or the way you walked and chewed your gum. I was looking for anything that would get me to my optimal point where I would be able to get into competitive play mode.
It's funny because your every moment-to-moment personality is actually laid back until you're competitively engaged, and then you get angry, and that's when you're very present. Yeah.
So you're like, saying I'm not present when I'm not angry?
No, you're just laid back when you're not angry, and then it ignites.
Yeah, that's true.
Jaylis, I'm very proud of you as one of my proteges in the media. You mentioned Nick Wright before. I have a lot of proteges in the media. My coaching tree is the roots go deep. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's KD's future in Brooklyn if Kyrie leaves? That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.